It's the Mayor News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. The final countdown series is complete once we're done here. But by God, do we have a show for you before we get to it. Welcome along, John Gunnigan.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I think a veritable tsunami of voices we have in this one, Rob, if I'm not mistaken.
Instead of trying to introduce all the voices that are coming up in the podcast, I just want to give you an idea of what the theme of it. We're going to take you on a little journey through the last six games so you can just relive some of the moments of our podcast and just remind yourself how this team has emerged and its new shape that it has taken. So that's for the journey. We're going to hear from some of our great fans around the world who have sent in some absolutely fantastic clips. You're going to hear all the familiar voices, and we cover a whole range of topics because there's so much to an All-Ireland football final, John. First and foremost, and I think over the last 2 weeks we've covered this with our guests, it's the football. It's who's marking who. It's how do you beat them? That's ultimately why you set up the blog and why we do the podcast. Of course, we love the stuff around the edges, and we'll get to that in a second. But I think most importantly, I'm going to say this, John, over the last few episodes and the few in the lead into Tipperary, I think I've had some of the best football conversations I've ever had.
Yeah, there have been some great ones. I mean, I think I would confess, though, coming into this game, the analysis kind of goes out the window in that the more that you get into cold-headed analysis, the more you inevitably get down a path of, I'm sure Dublin have to win, you know. So I think it's probably no coincidence that a lot of the commentary, and this is certainly the case in the blog, has veered more towards the lyrical side of it, and the as Miriam McCallum would say, the emotional side of our brains, because I think that's where we're all residing. And I think to some degree, the fact that we're all kind of watching it at one remove helps that as well, because there is this unreal atmosphere about it.
Okay, sit back and go on a journey with us, starting with some highlights from the story so far in the championship, and then straight into our first segment of fan voices. Really enjoyable stuff here.
Connacht Senior Football Championship quarter final. Mayo 2-15, Leitrim 10 points.
I just think this is a huge junction in the, I suppose, the life cycle of this of the group from 2011 on. If you look at the team that started today, it's almost unrecognisable from the 2017 All-Ireland final. I was just going through it there. Only five of the players that started the 2017 final. The main group, I would include Dermot O'Connor and Paddy Durkin, were vying for one position there. So you had effectively 16 players for 15 positions, and only five of them started today. They have a Clark and goal, Lee Keegan, Paddy Durkin, Cillian O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea. That's a huge amount of change.
Connacht Senior Football Championship semi-final, Mayo 1-16, Roscommon 13 points.
Were we foolish for being as nervous as we were before this game?
I don't think so. No, I think rightly so. Like, I mean, what you have with Mayo at the moment is a team in transition. An awful lot of new fellas being integrated into the team. And it's one thing, like, they're all good footballers. They're there on merit. But sometimes when you have new guys coming in, it's a question of trying to integrate them, trying to get them to understand one another's play, trying to get them to dovetail, kind of work in harmony with one another. And very often when a team is in transition, that aspect of the game is something that takes a while to establish. But today, Andy, and I think you'll agree with it, Rod, their teamwork was outstanding. I just thought they played so much cohesion for so long. The only kind of little blip I thought in that respect was maybe coming up to halftime when they started to run into cul-de-sacs up the middle, and when they turned over the ball, and after that first water break where they kicked six wides in the trot, like, you know, be honest about it, we should have been home and hosed at halftime.
Just going on that point with Martin in transition, you've got to realise our middle eight, Martin, was Lee Keegan, Colin Boyle, Donny Vaughan, Tom Parsons, Shamie Shea, Jason Doherty, Aidan O'Shea, Kevin McLaughlin. And if you look at that eight now, that's totally changed. But what I was really happy with today, and I'm sure you're the same, there's only two of them. And what I really enjoyed today was when the game was in the pipeline, it was, just say that third quarter, first come and get a bit going there, then the energy goes. Lee Keegan, two massive turnovers, two scores. Paddy Durkin, massive point. I heard you raving about it, Mary. Yeah. And then Cillian O'Connor, 4 points, one after another, just after half time, and the game's over.
And add into that, there was one lovely cameo on the far side there with Joe McLaughlin, with Owen McLaughlin, where he turned over a ball, where he actually kind of, do you remember, he horsed in a guy out over the sideline. We got a score out of it. It was fabulous. And then they kind of went muttering and giving out to the referee, and all of a sudden, sure, they just handed us a score.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a really exciting team. I think we need to give the boys space to express themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any way disrespect by me, you, Martin, any of us coming unsure. How can we be sure?
Do you know what
I'm saying? Look, like the league was kind of big transformation of a team. We've great experience on the sideline. Who knows where we could end up? Just as long as you give me a job and you bring me to Crow Park, I'm happy enough. That's all I want.
And let us into the game and put our name on the game.
Yeah, hey, that's all we wanted. We don't even want sandwiches. Just bring us to the game. We're happy enough.
Connacht Senior Football Championship Final, Mayo 14 points, Galway 13 points.
Lastly, to our supporters who can't be here, hopefully during these difficult times we've brought a bit of a smile on their face. For both Galway and Mayo, it must be difficult for supporters not being in the stands. So I hope everybody watching the telly has got a right smile on their face tonight and can enjoy the evening. So thanks everyone, cheers.
Yeah, we couldn't dare believe that. The joke was a few weeks, months ago, that imagine Mayo would win X in front of nobody, etc., etc. Nobody even wanted to make that joke down at Mayo. It was everybody else's joke to make. But like, we're now in a position where we have to face the facts. We're going into an All-Ireland semi-final. No matter who we're playing, we're going to be favourites. We're looking at playing in an All-Ireland final, potentially, if all things go well, a week before Christmas. It's... we might as well, there's no point in, we're all grown-ups, like, we might as well talk about this like it's something that's going to actually happen, and it should happen. Like, you know, we're back to that stage again, so we have to start getting our heads around that, and that's not something we should be shying away from. Like I said, I'm a Mayo man living in Galway. I'm going to sheepishly walk out of here and crack open a 7.5% IPA tonight, and I'm going 7.5.
Nice.
All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-final, Mayo 5:20, Tipperary 3:13.
Just how good was Killian O'Connor?
Oh, he was fantastic. I think the one thing that stands out and you have to recognise about Killian, if you were to look at all his championship goals in a YouTube clip, say, the amount of ones he gets where he's just lurking at the back post to palm a ball into the back of the net, and that's all about his in football intelligence, where he just says, well, I'm going to follow this right in, and it's, you know, it's work rate, I'm going to follow it right the way in, and the ball might come across to me and I find myself in a situation. He does that with the one he palms into the net. He intercepts a pass on another one that flicks into the net, but he's got so many goals in that situation where he's coming in at the back stick to tap it in, and that, as I said, that's down to his intelligence and to his work rate. I think then people underestimate, definitely nationally, they underestimate his talent, because he's not really a flair player. He's metronomic in his way. He just constantly, you know, he's doing the same actions over and over and over again, and they lead to him being in the same positions with opportunities over and over again, just operating in the same area of the field. And it's not spectacular to watch. It's not flamboyant, maybe like some forwards we've seen in the past, but it's incredibly effective.
Tell us, what do you think at this earlier move, 2 weeks out? Is there any point in coming up at all? Will Mayo keep the ball kicked out to them?
Well, if you asked me that before the Mayo game, I would have said no, probably not. And I know, speaking to a lot of people in the press box, they were kind of thinking of the same thing. But now, after seeing Mayo do that, you just can't help but go through these emotions that we've all felt and experienced before, of that belief that maybe they can actually do it. Yeah, I suppose we're at deja vu all over again, Mike, isn't it? Now, yeah, I hate to say it. Who knows, 2020 has sprung up a lot of mad things this year, so maybe I might do one more before the year's out.
My name is Martina Hegarty, and I'm from a small village called Keena, just outside Crossmolina. One of my standout memories is the 2006 semi-final between Mayo and Dublin. Sport is a bit of a family event in our house, and I remember my brother gave up his ticket to let my nephew David go. This game had everything. Hillgate, Dublin goals, a Mayo goal, and then the glorious ending with the phenomenal point by our own Kieran Mack. I don't mind admitting I have a bit of an addiction when it comes to Mayo football, And the 300,000 miles on my car is a testament to that, but there's no cure for it. Mayo football gives us a sense of pride with their never say die attitude, and I'm very grateful for all the fantastic days they've given me. I wish the Mayo team and management all the luck in the world on Saturday. The Mayo for Sam quest will end someday soon, and please God it will be by the final whistle on Saturday.
My name is Darren Gleason. I'm located in Vienna, Austria, where I've been working for about the last decade for the United Nations. Mayo GA continues to pop up in the most unexpected of places and circumstances. When I went to Vienna, I joined a GA club, and we have several Mayo people flying the flag here. We're heavily outnumbered by Dublin fans, unfortunately, ahead of this Saturday's game, but we continue to fly the flag. Our chairman, Noel Fitzgerald, hails from Island 80, and we also have Ivanka Kambrova from Ballina. And also my girlfriend, although she's from London, her people emigrated from Ballycastle in the 1950s to London. So a shout out to the O'Malley clan living in southeast London, who I think will also be watching the game on Sunday up Mayo. And hope everybody enjoys the game. You ain't seen nothing
like Horan's men. Hi, this is Zoe O'Halloran. I'm from Santa Rosa, California. My first memory is in 2013, my dad sat us around the TV to watch the final, and at the end, he went off crying.
I don't remember that.
He did. It was an angry cry, and he went off and hid in the bathroom to do it. Yeah. I watch because it's a connection to home, and it's a way to bond with my dad. And we'll both be watching on GAA Go, hoping that they win.
Great podcast, guys. We'll be listening.
Well, big thanks to the fans. More to come from them at the end of the show. But now, some of the voices you hear quite regularly on the show. Final thoughts from the following. We're going to hear from Colin Sheridan, Daniel Carey, Billy Joe Padden, Ger Flanagan, and Mike Finnerty. And if that's not enough, we have two brilliant radio essays coming up from Edwin McGrail and Kieran O'Hara. On the line for his final thoughts, Colin Sheridan. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. Really looking forward to Connacht versus Bristol this weekend.
Our job sometimes is to try and, I don't know, is it to try and ascribe meaning to a sporting event or derive meaning from a sporting event at times as journalists? I don't know, you can correct me on that, but how affected is it by the empty stadium? And is it just kind of changing the perception of it, or is it actually changing the event itself, do you think, this weekend?
Ascribing and prescribing, I'd say both, definitely. I mean, I guess we'll only know when players who retire this year write their books next year, or I guess whoever comes out victorious tell their stories in the kind of coming weeks and months, to obviously know it from their point of view. I've been thinking about this a lot in the last couple of weeks, and you know, again, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, how different people must be affected by it in different ways. Like James Foran has made his position on it quite clear, which I felt was brilliantly honest of him, and also I think gave us an insight which we probably would have again ignored, that although he didn't say it in so many words, but how it must be for a manager to manage all of these external factors going into a big game like this. And I know so many players would say this better than I have, and many of them on the podcast, but I can even remember as a teenager in our house going into those All-Ireland finals in the mid-90s. And it was chaos. It was chaos as regards well-wishers, tickets, all those cliches you hear about. But it was chaos. And I remember my brother Morris, who was obviously playing, just being nowhere near it and literally like trying to disappear and just get out of there. So I doubt that has changed in the 35 or the 25 years, whatever, since. For players, so that must be have a huge impact in their preparation. I was only thinking about it today. I'd imagine there must be some feeling of like loss for like younger players who, okay, James Horn is probably happy that they're not distracted, but imagine going into an All-Ireland final, your first ever All-Ireland final as a young player new to the Mayo squad and not having all the excitement and everything that goes with it. For the older guys, perhaps it's a huge relief and a huge burden off them that they literally can just like treat this like another game. The occasion itself, it's such an outlier. It's so unusual. Like you said to me in the kind of run up to this, like we will never likely, hopefully, have an All-Ireland final in our lifetimes played under these circumstances, which is insane. And, you know, you could see, did it change how the Limerick players and management felt about it last Sunday? It didn't seem so. Like looking at John Kiely around 10 minutes after the whistle was blown, and he was like leaping around the place like a lunatic still. So if Mayo win on Saturday, which we obviously all hope they will and we believe they can, it's just going to create a whole new storybook of memories and experiences for people. And the beauty of that will, of course, be for the players as well, that they're going to have their own story. And I do actually feel, with the nature of this championship and the way it's been run off so quickly, and also the fact that all those external factors are gone for the players, that it must be a very unique and tighter nearly bunch of players there, because they literally have themselves to rely on. They're not relying on the extra bits and pieces that go with being an intercounty footballer in the lead up to an All-Ireland final. So I think in some ways their experience will be enhanced. Our experience will be quite different, but it'll be no less profound.
See you on the other side.
See you on the beaches, Rob.
Daniel Carey joins me to make sense of watching football games from home briefly on this journey towards the final. I will pitch this to you, Danny, to begin with. I have some memories of watching huge sporting events in front of the telly, and most of them revolve around Jack Charlton's Ireland, to be honest. We didn't have a telly in 1988, and we were late getting up to the grandparents for the match. And of course, Ray Houghton had the ball in the net before we blooming well got there. A few years later, not that many years later, Ireland were in USA in 94, and I was kicked out of the front room to go and blow my nose in the times well before that, being quite worrying situation. And I missed a goal, missed Ray Houghton goal the second time, so there was something there. And on top of all that, my only GA memories of watching Mayo on TV, because thankfully I've been at most of those games, I remember watching the Tyrone game on holiday in 89, and the final I had to stay at home and watch as well. And I do have this, you too, well, you can maybe add to this, but I do have this embellished memory, Danny, of, I say embellished because I just wonder, have I kind of just put a bit of colour on this? But I'm pretty certain that when Anthony Finnerty missed that chance, I jumped up and was celebrating and had to be told by everyone in the kitchen he missed. I may be wrong, but I think he was celebrated.
Oh, Lord. The first thing that strikes me there, Rob, is if you're telling me that you've missed possibly the two most iconic goals in the history of Irish soccer, I'm suddenly wondering, Roddy Doyle takes the credit, I think, for Kevin Sheedy's equaliser against England in 1990, because while watching the game in a pub, he agreed to go to the toilet, even though he didn't need to go to the toilet, on the basis that a goal would be scored while he was out of the room. I'm suddenly wondering, could the best thing that you do for Mayo football next Saturday be
at some point,
to pop out, you know, just go to the bathroom, even if you don't need to go. Just go to a room in the house where there's no TV. Obviously, enormous sacrifice. But it really sounds like you may hold the key to a Mayo victory on Saturday.
I'm willing. People, do not worry. I'm willing to step up. James Horan doesn't even need to phone me. I'm there, James. I've got your back. You were taken by John's theory that we're all in America this year, as we're all watching from afar. And it made you think of just the idea of trying to follow an All-Ireland final when you can't get to it.
One story that comes to mind, and it's how Brendan O'Hare finishes his GA memoir, Over the Bar. It's the story of Bill Doonan, the Cavan footballer. He won back-to-back All-Irelands in 1947, won in the Polo Grounds, and controversially won in 1948 against Mayo.
Very controversially.
Yeah. Let's not go there in the week that's in it. But he also actually played soccer for Lincoln City, But before he was a double All-Ireland winner and a Lincoln City player, he had joined the Irish Army originally when the emergency or the Second World War broke out. He joined the British Army, and he was in southern Italy in 1943. He was a radio operator for his unit. There was a lull in fighting one Sunday, and he disappeared. Search party was mounted. Radio operators was a very important job. And eventually he was discovered up a tree, where somehow he had managed to get a signal to listen on the radio to the All-Ireland final between Cavan and Roscommon. And he avoided court-martial. Again, I think the job was kind of seen as too important, and had this amazing kind of subsequent sporting life. But it's the final line in Brendan O'Hare's Over the Bar, where he says, "If anyone ever asks you what the GAA is all about, just think of Bill Doonan, the wanderer, on the side of that hill in the middle of a world war at home."
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out GRG's website at grgsports.com.
Billy Joe, we're almost there. We just wanted to get you on one more time for your final thoughts.
Yep, we're almost there. We're apprehensive. We're not sure. We're not sure what we're going to see. We're nervous because us as Mayo supporters know the quality of this Dublin team better than as good as anyone, nearly as good as their own supporters. We know that Dublin can take the game away from you in a 10-minute period in the early stages of the game or late in the game. We know that we have to have that ultra concentration throughout the game. But at the same time, I think we have confidence in our own players that they're prepared in the right way to be able to deal with that sort of intensity and be able to maintain that intensity for 70 plus minutes. And I think that's something that consistently has been the message from James Horn. I think that what I'm looking forward to seeing, and it's something I've thought an awful lot about over the last 2 weeks, is can Mayo really put the Dublin full back line under pressure? And I'm looking forward to seeing Mayo go into the game with a Killian O'Connor in his best form maybe ever, a new different type of forward in Tommy Conroy, and then a player in Aidan O'Shea having, I suppose, a comfort level in the full forward line should he be asked to play significant periods of the game there, maybe more so than at any time in the past. So you could maybe make the case that this Mayo full forward line goes into an All-Ireland final in better shape than any Mayo full forward line ever has in the past. And it has always been said, you know, that's what you need. It's that line of the field that usually wins you the big game. And I think we're going to see a big performance from that line, and who knows where it's going to take us, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's time for Ger Flanagan's final thoughts. And Ger, as a man who's played a bit of football in the lockdown era, in empty stadiums, in games that you know many, many people at home are watching, not specifically to talk about your own experience, but just what's your thoughts about what the Mayo lads will be thinking when they get off that bus and how it might differ slightly or maybe dramatically from what they might have thought in previous seasons and what they might have experienced before when they played in Croke Park?
I think the whole tension and nervousness and just external pressure that comes with an All-Ireland final won't be there for the players, which I think is going to be a huge positive. You know, you can only imagine what it's like getting into the stadium. You know, I've heard from the players that when they're in the dressing room, just before they run out onto the field, they can literally feel the dressing room shaking when there's 80,000 people going. Like, you can imagine the tension that brings. So from that perspective, you'd imagine and you'd like to think that there's not going to be that pre-game nerves. There's not going to be any of that pre-game tension. And it was similar to club football this year in the way that crowds aren't there, and crowds create tension, particularly the Mayo crowd and the Dublin crowd, because, you know, when they get going, when Dublin starts singing, you know, "Come on, you boys in blue," you can actually physically feel the force off the hill. I don't know, is it a placebo effect in your mind or can you actually physically feel it? But you can imagine what effect that is going to have on a player when he's running out onto the field or he's lining up for the start of the game, say Tommy Conroy lining up number 13 on his back right underneath this hill, and you have thousands and thousands of Dubs roaring this at you. So from that perspective, you'd imagine that they're going to go into this game a lot calmer than what it will be like in a normal world.
Gerard Flanagan's final thoughts?
I think going back to Kevin McStay's brilliant column in the Irish Times this week, I know you're going to be, he's going to be on the podcast as well. I couldn't help but sort of take a lot of stock from the par where he is talking about the Mayo supporters' sort of psyche in the week of an All-Ireland final, and how he, on the Monday and on Tuesday, you're rationalising in your head how it's not going to be possible to do. But then by Friday and by Saturday, you have a complete counter-logic, I think is what he called it, as to why you think they can do it. And that is exactly what I'm doing right now. So right now, it's Thursday, and I'm saying, I don't think so. I can't see it, but Saturday morning when I wake up, there's no doubt about it. I think they could pull it off, because it's a funny year. So I can attest to everything Kevin McStay wrote in his column in the Irish Times.
Mike Finnerty's on the line, surrounded by notes at his kitchen table. You need to get a decent size office chair there and a bit more comfort, Mike Finnerty. How are you?
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I suppose the championship is almost over. So that office chair may have to wait for the 2021 season at this stage. I've toughed it out on a bad chair for this long. One more day won't put me up or down.
You did a great piece with Andy Moran last year. You've done a few great interviews with him. One of my favourites was when he spoke about the journey he went on after the passing of his father, Vincent, and how difficult it was. We've heard from some amazing fans from around the world who speak about the connections and what it means to watch Mayo. And it usually involves loved ones and family members and journeys and just together. So it's this time, at this time, it can be hard for people as well when they remember the people who introduced them to Mayo football and who have maybe passed on. And I'm thinking, as you well know, Mike, of the great Tony Finnerty, your own dad, an incredible Ballinrobe GA man, and one of the best Mayo football fans I have ever known who passed on this year.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. It's been a strange year for everybody, and it's been a tough year for a lot of people and a lot of families. And we were one of the families that were touched by a bereavement. My dad passed away now 4 months ago, and I think safe to say he'll be remembered as one of Mayo's most loyal and dedicated and long-suffering supporters. Will forever be known, of course, as the man who, quite literally, back in 2009, Mayo football very nearly killed him. Suffered a massive heart attack at a National League match between Mayo and Derry in Ballina. A lot of the listeners, I'm sure, will remember the drama and the excitement around that particular day. And look, we were very fortunate that a lot of medical personnel were on duty. There were defibrillators not too far away, and Dad was literally brought back from the brink. So we were very lucky in so many ways to have 11 and a half great years that we enjoyed immensely and got to celebrate a lot of milestones in our lives and in his life during that time. But unfortunately, he passed away suddenly in mid-August. And yeah, it's left a big void in all our lives. And it's been a very strange championship without him. And there's no doubt he'd be very proud to see them the way Mayo have gone through the championship. And I think, being honest about it, and I've obviously thought a lot about him in the last couple of weeks, he'd have been brokenhearted not to be able to be in Croke Park on Saturday night, like so many other Mayo supporters. But as you said, he introduced me to Mayo football, tried to bring me to an All-Ireland semi-final in 1985 between Mayo and Dublin, that famous draw and the replay. But as Liam Horan, a great friend of our family, likes to remind me regularly, I chose The Jungle Book in the cinema on O'Connell Street in 1985 over the Mayo Dublin draw. So how I've ended up where I have is a minor miracle, really.
That's a whole other podcast that you should be listening to, really. The Cinemile, I think it's called.
Controversial. As luck would have it then, I suppose, just to square that circle, because I didn't go to that one of the most memorable Mayo championship matches of all time, I made my debut as a Mayo supporter at the age of 10. For some reason, I took the 1986 season out completely. Maybe I was concentrating on watching cartoons. But I made my debut as a Mayo supporter at the 1987 Connacht final. And anybody who remembers that should really probably get some professional help, because it finished 8-7. Galway beat Mayo. Mayo scored the sum total of 2 points from play. And I'll always remember it as the day that one Seamus McHugh from Headford threw Kevin McStay's football boot out over the wire and into the crowd at one point when Kevin was trying to tie his shoelace. And that's about the only reason, Rob, I'll ever remember that game for that particular moment, shall we say.
We must mention too, another member of our team has suffered bereavement and will be thinking about someone in their life that's so important to them in Ger Flanagan Sr. passing away, Ger Flanagan's granddad and a friend of the podcast, a man who appeared on our podcast on a famous day when we'd be Kerry in a replay. And again, it's just to kind of bookend that, Mike, it's amazing how much emotion is attached to Mayo and how much joy. But then as life is what it is, joy sometimes brings back memories that are just hard for people as well.
Yeah, of course. And there's no doubt for a lot of people this weekend, there will be a lot of emotion and a lot of empty chairs at kitchen tables, empty chairs in sitting rooms and living rooms. And I know there'll be people looking around Croke Park when it flashes up on their TV screens, and they'll be conjuring up memories of great days they had with people who are no longer with us. But also they'll be celebrating, I suppose, or remembering fondly all the great days they had with their loved ones in Croke Park. And I know, I mean, one that comes to mind for me very quickly and immediately is 1989. I'll never forget, as a 12-year-old, you know, how lucky was I to be on the canal end with my dad in 1989. And I always remember when Anthony Finnerty scored that famous goal and everybody fell forward. It was a huge crush as what, 10, 15,000 Mayo people, you know, went bananas. And I always remember, for some reason, my dad just, you know, looking at me in the eye and saying, "We have it, you know, we have it." And obviously, here we are all these years later and we still don't have it. But you know, you hear people saying from time to time, it's about the journey, and how true that is.
The team's getting ready to parade behind the magnificent Artane boys band in this splendid panoramic scene. Croke Park, a cauldron of noise. The parade, part of the build-up, part of an integral portion indeed of the rich tapestry that makes up All-Ireland final day. The fans giving vent to their emotions, warmly acclaiming both teams as the Cork team on the inside. Mayo here having the outside rail, as it were. TJ Kilgallen, left thigh heavily strapped, you'll notice.
The Station Masters. Everyone invested in Mayo football has been on one hell of a journey. We don't know where this one will end, but we all know where it started for each and every one of us. For me, it was the magical summer of 1989. I was 7 then, and so can say with certainty I cannot recall a time when Mayo were not reaching All-Ireland finals. I've no sporting memories before 89. I can't even remember Ray Houghton putting the ball in the English net, much as I'd love to. But 89? The mere mention of it brings back a flood of memories. It was the greatest summer of my childhood. Times were tough at home. Immigration hung over so many families. My parents actively looked into moving to London, but they persevered and worked hard to keep the show on the road for us. From somewhere, they found the wherewithal for us to go on a magical journey that summer to every Mayo Championship game. I was hooked. Willie Joe, Irwin, Ford, TJ, McHale, McStay, Fitzmaurice, Durkin and co. became giants to my young eyes. The gift of a Mayo jersey was treasured. The posters hung all over the walls, while the search for autographs became a quest. Memories abound of Galway's late equalising goal in Toom. I thought it should have been ruled out. From my vantage point, Gay McManus had headed it home, and this, I declare to anyone silly enough to listen to me, had to be against the rules. Of course, he neither headed it, nor would it have been illegal if he had. I can only guess my young mind assumed if handball was illegal in soccer, heading the ball had to be illegal in Gaelic. Nevertheless, on we went, beating Galway after a replay in McHale Park and doing likewise with Roscommon, this time after extra time. Jimmy Burke's famous pushover goal has become iconic in the years that followed. I'd love to say I saw it, but do you really think a 7-year-old stood a chance of seeing it with excited men and women jumping and hollering all over the place around me? Dublin next, and an All-Ireland semi-final with Tyrone. It might have been my first time in Dublin. It's certainly my first memory of the capital. We went up on the Friday, stayed with family, friends in Selbridge, and, joy of joys, went to Dublin Zoo on the Saturday. A visit to friends in the Burlington brought more amazement when I used a lift for the first time. Could this weekend get any better? Of course it could. Sunday, and the legend of the Viking Willie Joe was secured with his blood and bandages effort. The final whistle brought a flood of emotion all around us. Mayo were in the All-Ireland final. Reaching it seemed normal to me, but for older people, it was clear this was huge. 38 years was a long time to wait without a single final. It's how old I am now, and I'm going to my 10th decider this Saturday. September then, and the scramble for tickets. We always travelled with our cousins, the Mongans. Mam's sister Ronnie and her husband Louis have both since departed this world. Louis was a big Mayo fan and pulled us along in his wake that summer. More importantly, he was our Willy Wonka. Louis was station master in Castlebar Railway Station and worked with the one and only Johnny Mulvey, a man whose involvement with the Mayo County Board stretched back to the famous letter of 1947. Johnny sorted Louis with 4 golden tickets. Imagine! 2 in the Cusack stand for the Mongans and 2 in the Upper Hogan for the McGrails. My sisters kindly deferred to my parents and I, with my father lifting me over the turnstile. We had arranged to signal with our signs and teddies. The Mongans, Louis, Ronnie and daughter Leanne, had a big number plate style banner which said 89MO Willie Joe. We had a teddy almost as big as me. I'm not sure what the thinking was there. Space was tight enough as it was with me on my father's lap. The nervousness of the first half soon turned to hope and emotion that this just might happen when Anthony Larry Finnerty blasted the ball to the net. But Cork, the feckers, bound away and scored the last 4 points to win. My mother always reminds me of how I was crying late on and roaring, "Come on, Mayo, do you not want to win?" I know now they wanted it more than a 7-year-old could imagine. Despite the defeat, the seed was planted. Here we are 31 years later, still chasing the same dream. It's not too far from where Louis got us the tickets in 1989 that I will sit in the press box in the Upper Hogan on Saturday. We are, of course, supposed to be impartial up there, but that's difficult after the journey we've all been on. My journey started 31 years ago, and we don't know if the train will arrive at the station this year or not. But we will continue to savour the journey and be grateful for those station masters who waved us on.
Those rates and some of what we've seen in our national experience is we can drop, if I can put it that way, our incidence rates quite quickly if we can continue to observe and apply some of the messages in terms of our public health behaviours.
2020, the year of not likely. If this time last year we'd made wild predictions, if I'd said that the All-Ireland would be on the Saturday before Christmas, that the stands would be empty and the pubs shut to boot, you'd have all looked at me strangely, saying, "Get away, that's not likely." If I told you that heroes would be living all around us, that they'd step up without fear when a virus near drowned us, if I'd said they'd be doctors and nurses, teachers and guards, shop workers and drivers, you'd have said, "You're gone nuts. There's no way, that's not likely." If I'd said that the man to beat Trump would have links with Mayo, or that Boris's Brexit would sweep an election, if I'd said FG and FF would be joined at the hip, sharing their power so the house wouldn't flip, well, you get it now. You'd say that's just crazy. It's simply not likely. If I'd said we'd see football in a different light, that we'd lose countless loved ones in a terrible fight, if I'd said no hugs or kisses, no shaking of hands, just constant hand washing and masks on demand, or that we'd be locked down at home for months at a time while working on Zoom and in our own time, you'd say that stuff's all daft. There's no way. That's not likely. If I told you club games would have no crowds or small crowds while we watched on our phone, that the teams who'd be champions would be Kilmaine, Ball, Knockmore, you'd say, "What are you smoking?" That's simply not likely. If I'd said players would be confined to their own family bubbles, that they'd shorten our winter and, when we most needed, lift some of our troubles, if I'd said that plastic boxes would contain all their kit, or that Cavan and Tip would be the big hit, you'd have roared out with laughter, crying, "You truly have lost it. That just cannot happen. There's no way. It's not likely." If I'd said Mayo and the Dubs would play the end of December with Sam on the line and no Andy or Boiler, that young guns would be flying and pick up the slack, you might have said, no way, that's never likely. So here's to the champions of a bad 2020. The workers on the front line, the players on the pitch, and the ones on the sideline who still scratch that itch. You gave more than we wished for or dared even to ask. Happy Christmas to all, and to all we give thanks. Let's see where this goes now. It's a year like no other. Who knows? There's still time for one more wrong, not likely.
That was the voice of Ciarán O'Hara. Before him, Edwin McGrail. Two superb pieces. Thanks to the lads for that. I hope you've enjoyed the journey we've taken you on all the way through these last few weeks, months. And if it is to be the final story in this incredible chapter and a new beginning is to follow, well then, you know, all these years since 2009. John, it's been some journey. 2007 for your blog. Amazing.
It is, yeah. But I think in 2020, it's sort of championship as speed dating or something, isn't it? You know, it's just, you know, it only seems like 2 or 3 weeks ago that the league was restarting. And now suddenly we're in an All-Ireland final. So it has gone in such a blur, hasn't it? But it's great. Look, it's great to be involved. I mean, I was a huge skeptic, I have to say, when there was talk of the championship in hell. I just thought it was pure madness you know, we're better off just leave it and get over this blasted COVID thing and face it again next year. But I am so glad that it did happen, and really proud that we're one of the two counties that are standing Christmas week. It's absolutely incredible. And I think in a way, you know, this year, I think that there is a connection. I think the connection between the fans who go to the matches and the diaspora is that much greater, because I think, as I explained in the piece I did for the Mayo News, we're all experiencing the same thing now. As I said, like, I'm just, you know, I'm a bit more than a mile away from Croke Park, but I may as well be a million miles away on Saturday, because I'm just not going to be there or anywhere there. I'll see it on the television, same as anyone in America or in Australia will see it on television. And I think we all feel that we are in the one boat this year, which is different from before. But at the same time, it's an All-Ireland final, and I think the same kind of nerves and the same sense of anticipation and all the rest is there as well. Like, we've had a wonderful time for the last 10 years. I mean, sure, it would have been brilliant had we won one of the ones we're in. But hey, guess what? We're in another one this year. And you know, we might be in another one again next year and the year after. And the thing is, if we keep knocking on that door, one of these days, it will open for us. You ain't seen nothing like Horace Bend. We ain't gone without, never again. You ain't seen nothing like Horace Bend. We ain't gone without, never again. Hello, my name is Rosanna Loftus. I'm from Cross Malina. My first memory of following the Mayo team probably would be the 2004 All-Ireland final against Kerry. I was given a number of Hill 16 tickets by my grandfather to go with some friends on the day, and just being there in the crowd, seeing Ciarán McDonald score the first point for Mayo, the stand erupting, really gave you the sense of you know, the Mayo support and following. And ever since then, I have been, you know, closely following the team and going to games myself. What the team means to me really is family. With my grandfather having played from minor to senior, captaining the 1957 junior team, right through to Connor playing now, watching him from minor, winning the minor, winning under 21, and now as a starting member on the senior team. We're hugely proud of him, and just because we can't be there on Saturday doesn't mean we'll all be putting our support behind the team and the boys. Never again. You ain't seen
nothing like Horace Bend. Okay, well, Chef, just wanted to wish the Mayo team all the best on Saturday evening against the Dubs. I think we have a great chance this time. Lacuna J, Bay, Sam McGuire, Galga, Traston, Shunango J, Kundawio. You know, I've been following Mayo since the mid-60s. They've been giving us great servants and great service to Mayo people down through the years, and it'd be great if they got over the line. Myself from Ilanakla, Kundawio. Now I'm living in Lochgorman in Wexford for the last 25 years. Reading the Mayo News, of course, I call it the Bible, and also your podcasts and Willie Joe's blog. I follow, like other people around the world, I follow the Mayo team, and it just is, your service is just fantastic. There is no doubt about it. You know, Mayo people are very proud of their county. They're very proud of their team and the management of the team, and all those players, as we all know, are amateurs. They give their time, Sarah Nashka, free of charge, as we say. So we really need to support our team and our county as much as we can. So the very best to the Mayo team and management on Saturday night. And here I am wearing my Mayo shirt, and I'll be watching it here in Wexford with my son Martin and my wife Rose. And no doubt my heart will be ticking very fast. But I am confident, quietly confident, that we can beat the Dubs. Mayo abo, Gunneri, Lefern Mayo Ogoni, Slán agus Bannacht, agus Garamina Mahagav.
Hello folks, it's Martina here from all the way over in Bohola. I just wanted to wish the Mayo team the very best of luck on Saturday. It's been an absolute honour and a privilege to follow them for the past number of years. Yeah, just best of luck. Hope everyone is enjoying it this year. And thanks a million for the podcast. Kept us all sane over the last number of months and years. Thanks, guys.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tomislav from Zagreb, Croatia. I started following Mayo back in 2010 through my great Irish friends, which I met on the European Championship in Australian football. They played for the Irish national team. I played for the Croatian team. Afterwards, we connected with beer and drinks, and then they told us the story about Mayo curse, all the history, and we loved it. And actually, we got a couple of jerseys, so there was a few of us from Croatia that started like supporting Mayo ever since. Bring Sam home, guys. That's it, Mayo for Sam, you know. We're going to watch from Croatia, and hopefully you'll get it.
Hi, this is Fiona from Charlestown. Wishing the lads the very best of luck on Saturday, and especially our own club mates, Tom and Paul. Hopefully they go all the way this year. We'll be cheering them from home, even though we can't be there. Without, never again. You ain't seen
nothing like Horan's men. We ain't gone without. Hello, Mayo News podcast followers. My name is Austin Payne, now living in Shrewell via Reading, England. My story is that the first generation Mayo man. My parents hail from Shrewell in Kilmaine in South Mayo. My earliest memories of Mayo are listening to matches with my dad over the crackling signal of RTE medium wave on the radio and matches in Ruislip. My first Mayo game memory was being home on holidays in 1985 for the Dublin replay and being lifted over the turnstile of the Hogan stand as a 9-year-old. I remember the crowd for Porrick Brogan's brilliant 21-yard goal and the long, long coach journey back to Kilmaine that evening. My best memory comes from this golden past decade, the afterglow of the 2019 league final victory over Kerry, enjoying the aftermath experience of a final victory in Croke Park. What does Mayo mean to me? Family. I attend all games with my wife Tracy, our daughters Madeline and Charlotte. Family, as it brings us all together, particularly my dad, Jimmy, uncles Tom and Patsy, as well as brother-in-law, Malachy Flanagan. Family, part of the wider Mayo support that has grown over the past decade with this team on the journey. Win or lose Saturday, the journey will continue. Instead of Jones's Road this year, I'll be at home in Shrewell, watching the green and red surrounded by my family.
Hi lads, my name is Trevor Nocton, long-time listener, first-time caller. I am tuning in from Kilcock, County Kildare, surely the least exotic location the podcast is listened to. Seriously though, it's brilliant. Thank you all so much for the time and hard work you put into making it. My favourite memory supporting Mayo has to be us beating Kerry in the 2017 semi-final replay and the 2019 league final, because growing up, wins over Kerry were few and far between, so to beat them on those big days in Croke Park was especially sweet. Coming from a football mad family, the Mayo team means literally everything to myself, my dad Michael from Lahardon, even my mum Bridget from Kildare, and the rest of my family. We understand and appreciate the effort and sacrifices these players put in, year out, for the love of Mayo, the love of the jersey, and none more so than in this difficult COVID year. The team has given us all something other than COVID to talk about. This is badly needed for a number of reasons, and for that, I thank the team and management sincerely for shortening the winter for us all. Here's hoping for a Mayo win on Saturday, where it's then we'll hear that famous Mayo roar, not in Croke Park, but around the world. Up Mayo.
Hello, Mary Linsky here from Killaturley, Swinford. I am following Mayo team since 1989. Great memories of that game and great memories of good players such as Willie Joe Padden, TJ Gilgallon, Dermot Flanagan, a few more players that I won't name them all tonight. I suppose the best memory would be of Mayo playing Dublin in the semi-final 2006, when Mayo came out on the field and headed for the Hill 16 and gave McDonald's winning point. I think that was the best memory. I always say I never have a problem revealing my age, as I was born in September of 1951. And I always say I share my birthday with Sam Maguire. So hopefully we might see it this year. And I would like to wish James Horan, his management, and Aidan O'Shea, our captain, the best of luck on Saturday evening, and wish them well, and hope that they bring back Sam Maguire to Mayo, and if not, that we'll see it in the new year 2021.
Big thanks to all our fans who sent in some brilliant messages, as you heard there, from all around the world. The music you heard was Horan's Men. That's from Gary O'Malley, a 2013 tune that raised lots of money for the Mayo Roscommon Hospice. So it was a great cause, and we've posted the link on our blog page and on our iTunes page here as well, where you can find out more and probably worth your while doing a little donation too. It's always good to be donating to the hospices. Before we finish, we thought we'd finish on this though. In 2017, for the All-Ireland Football Final Preview Show, we went to London, and since so much talk has been around the diaspora and the fact that we're all alone together, so to speak, watching this All-Ireland Final wherever we are in the world, and we know that Mayo goes way beyond the 128,000 people that live here, millions around the world associated with the county. Well, it's so appropriate then on a night in the Oxford Arms that the voice of one of our second generation Mayo supporters is what we should finish on. And let's introduce it with how the podcast finished in 2017 with Mike Finnerty.
This week, last week's decision by Rob to finish with The Clash, London's Calling, left me singing that song for the week. I can guarantee anyone who's listening right now, you're going to be singing this song until the All-Ireland Final. It's Hannah Gallagher, daughter of Terry Gallagher, singing the one and only Green and the Red of Mayo, recorded live in the Oxford Arms.